Everybody say, you asked for it. One more time, say it like you mean it. You're getting a little better. And here's what's happened. You're looking at the people behind the curtain. Everybody, one, two, three. A little better. They're getting close. I'm excited about the series that we're starting next week. And we did a survey at Easter, and a lot of responses came. And we just are finishing today, final day of the table. Series on relationships and family and some things that we've delved into, some things that you asked about. And so we'll start next Sunday and through July dealing with those things that people said, hey, I'd like to hear something about this. And it's much like what Jesus did. For many of you, you'll remember this. Some, maybe this is new information, but Jesus in his earthly ministry, he would ask or he would be in a situation with people where they would ask questions and he invited that in, and then he would answer. And some of the things that we look at and read today and we apply to our lives is Jesus answering some of the questions and dealing with. So we've just invited you to ask some questions, and we're going to spend some time in those and talking about those this coming series. So I'm pumped and excited. Anybody with me? Yeah. All right. Some of you will be back, but some of you. Today is the final week of the table, and we're excited. As you can see, we've had the communion elements up here behind me, and we're going to receive communion here in the last portion of the service today. But I want to spend some time talking about being invited to his table. That's what Jesus does. He invites us to his table, and we love it. Maybe you remember, I know I went to... When I was a kid, we didn't have middle school. We had junior high. Anybody like that? And I'm sure there were middle schools, but in our school system, it was junior high. It was 7, 8, 9. And so it was in junior high that we got to the place where this developed. It probably was going on before, but I remember it clearly in junior high, where there were certain tables at lunchtime. Right? And, you know, there's certain tables that maybe you would sit at, but other tables you wouldn't. Some tables you might have wanted to sit at, but you weren't invited. And this whole idea that, you know, being around certain people was important, and we did that when we were younger. As adults, we don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. Here's what it's all about. It's about the idea that when you wanted to be at a table where there were people that you could hang out with and that you enjoyed being with, you know? If, in fact, Ben Davis High School now, yeah, so I think it continued on, right? We had a great band, marching band, and so people with the purple jackets on, these slick, like, satiny jackets, those were the bandoids, and they were all at tables together, and then you had the jocks that were at tables together, and we called them preppies. They had the, what's the alligator then? I think it was alligator on the shirt. And then you had the hoods and the druggies. And you could just, these groups were just all over, you know. And now nerds are a popular thing to be called. But then, you know, people didn't necessarily want to be called a nerd. And I ran into someone this week, and they worked at a place that where somebody here works. And I was trying to describe the person. I said, well, they would not mind me saying this. They're kind of nerdy. And the person said to me, well, everyone that works there is nerdy. So anyways, different day. But the idea is still the same, that you wanted to be at a table in junior high where people wanted you to be there. And here's a key word. People want acceptance with others in their life. No doubt you have worn an article of clothing, a certain kind of shoes, you've fixed your hair a certain way. That's what I'm doing. I mean, like, I see a lot of guys doing this new style that I got going on. Amen. We've did those things many times in the past. Hopefully you're not still trying to do this, but so that we could fit with, you know, every once in a while I'll go to a Pacer or a Colts game when it is convenient, and maybe somebody invites me or whatever. And Kim and I are thinking, okay, we got to get our shirts that's going to match, right? We don't want to go there with the wrong shirt on. And acceptance is a pretty big deal. And so Here's what God does. God invites us because of his desire for relationship. God invites us to the table. In fact, he gave a lot for us to be at the table with him. And we're going to be reading Ecclesiastes in a moment. I will mention this, that when I think about, I call it big T table. Sometimes I use this little way of explaining the church that here we are as the church, and we're Elevation Church on the corner of County Line Sherman, but we're also a part of the Big C Church, right? Aren't you glad the church isn't just us? Right? It's much greater than us, and thank God for that. So we're at the table we're not alone here. I think about, in our area, there are some Baptist churches and some Methodists and some Nazarene churches and Pentecostal churches and Lutheran churches and Presbyterian churches, and just, I'm not going to name them all. There's just a bunch of different flavors of the church. We're at the table with them. And I, for one, I want them to succeed at leading people in relationship to Jesus. Anybody with me say yes?
Amen.
Yeah. We're not here. We're not at the table so that we can compete, right? We're here at the table because we can complete what the mission of Jesus is for his church. And I thought about how that we just had VBS a couple weeks ago now, Roar, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of people were ministered to, a lot of children were here and getting their life and get their focus on Jesus. And we don't know the impact, but I do believe this, that eternity will be impacted for that week that people came and served and engaged with children. And I think about how that there's certain, every year, there's certain expenditures that we have to approach to make VBS happen. And we did that, but this year we did it in conjunction with Southport Presbyterian. And so 2 weeks from now, they'll be doing their VBS, Roar VBS, the same curriculum, and some of the things that we purchased, they'll be using, and some of the things they purchased and made, we got to use. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's the church. That's being at the table together, working to reach the community that we are in. And I think about Darren. Darren, could you stand? Darren Sweeney's not going to be on camera for our online audience, but he's just off to my right here. And Darren, with OMS, One Mission Society, and with a ministry called Hope 61, and helping, working, training around the globe so that we can just conquer and bring Jesus into this human trafficking situation, which is something. How many know Jesus needs to redeem that thing and bring it to a screeching halt? And I'm so thankful that we get to partner with Darren, and he got there through a journey, Mozambique, and he's out in Seattle and going all over the world. But we're thankful. Can you give him a big just hand of appreciation? We prayed for him in the first service, and thank you, Darren. Thank you. Thank you. We're at the table together. Here's OMS in Greenwood, and we're at the table together. And think about, here we are in Indianapolis, Greenwood, Southport, in this area, and we've been able to, because how many know the school system's at the table with us? I believe that the schools need Jesus. Anybody with me?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thankful for all the teachers, and we have many in our congregation that go into those places and represent Jesus to these students and do it in a very strategic way of just living out their faith. And we've been able, Northeast Elementary, to be engaged there. And then just, it's been a few weeks ago that the superintendent of Perry Township Schools, Miss Carolyn, went and received an award for Elevation Church, that because of the things that we've done in Perry Township, one of those being last year in their fall festival, we were able to send some folks over there and help to facilitate that. Our serve day, dreams and wishes. Some of you bought gifts for children. The majority of those came out of Perry Township Schools. Thanksgiving. Some of the things that we do to just step into and join with the people at the table. Because when I was young at the table, here you are at the table, I tell people we had a lot of carbohydrates when I was a kid. When you have a big family, right? Six kids, adults, you know, it's like, okay, you can feed a lot of people with spaghetti inexpensively. And I love spaghetti. I love pasta. I don't get a whole lot of that because it's not what I need. And by the way, some of you don't need it either, but anyways. At the table, though, sometimes there'd be stuff that I really, really liked. Like one of my favorite all times is chicken cacciatore. And I don't know how it happened, but there'd be a chicken, and no matter how many people was there, everybody got something. Like, it wasn't like, okay, I got mine, and then that person there, okay, well, it's all gone. Sorry. You gotta be quicker. Sometimes that was true almost, but nobody was gonna go hungry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're at the table and everybody's gonna get fed. And if, even if it's your favorite and you wanted it by you, you would pass it because that's what you do at the table. Because here we're at this place where we are having stewardship for one another. That there are people in this community at the big tea table. In fact, there's people in your life right now that there has to be some stewardship to say, I am going to be responsible for those people in my life. And I love it on July 13th of here just in a few weeks. Pastor Juan, could you stand over here? Pastor Juan, in fact, won't you come up here? Can you come up here, okay?
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah, give it up to Juan. Like, here's the sweet spot. Come over here. They got you on camera right now. You're going out on the World Wide Web.
Wow.
Pastor Juan, on July 13th, he'll be taking a group. That group can include you downtown Indianapolis. And he's got a bunch of shoes.
Yep, about 100 pair of shoes.
100 pair of shoes.
So we need socks.
There you go. And there's a big barrel out there. And we could fill it. Just, you know, if everybody here bring just a 2, 3, 4 pair of socks, make a big difference in somebody's life.
Yeah, some of these people walk around downtown with no socks, and sometimes with no shoes. So it's a great thing that we can do to help these people, because they're God's people too. So we need to help these people.
So this is a great opportunity to be able to just show the love of Jesus, and I encourage you to be a part of it. And it's owning some stewardship of those people that are at the table with us, that are saying, "Hey, pass the socks." Yeah, give us something.
Yeah, both or men's or women's
both. Yeah, because there's a lot of women too that are homeless, so they just all need help.
So there you go. So socks, and he'll be out in the lobby if you have more questions. And then also today, 2:15.
Yeah.
They don't start till 2:30. University Heights. Sometimes they gotta roll them in. Takes a little while to get them there, but Pastor Juan will be over there every fourth Sunday.
Every fourth Sunday
of the month.
We start. We'll be there at 2:15 and start at 2:30.
There you go. So here, you say, "Well, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me about this?" Because some of you could go over there and be used by God in ministry. And you may say, "Well, I don't know what kind of way God could use me." If you could kind of do this, anybody do this? This is the spiritual gift of giving a hug.
Yep.
And some people, they just need a hug in there. And some people, you could just say a prayer over or speak some kind words to, and it'd change just their disposition and their day. And so I encourage you to help with that. Thank you, Pastor Juan. It's that idea that here's a place, James 1:27, there are widows. There are people that are, in some level, maybe disenfranchised, that don't have anybody in their life that we could make a difference in their life. And I don't know, Tony, is Tiffany with you right now, the baby? Oh, there she is, yeah. Yeah, so hopefully you get a chance to meet their new little one. They just went through adoption process, like several families in our congregation. And it's that idea that James 1:27 says this is pure religion. It's when you invest your life, because I know there's families here that have fostered. We've talked about it for years now, and adopted children, and you've taken just the step to say, hey, there's some people at the table that need someone to be in their life to guide. And what a great gift. And Tony and Tiffany have made that step. And so celebrate with them today. Maybe after service, you can check out their new little one. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. And again, at the table, we started this series off with the idea of being chair aware. Who's at your table? Ecclesiastes 4. Some of you haven't opened Ecclesiastes up in a while. I may have did this just to mess with you. 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Right? If you're doing a job, it's better to have two people than one, right? 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him as alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Think about that commercial, right, for the little device. Help me, I've fallen, right? 11 again. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's this idea of relationships. That you're not meant to do life alone. You're not meant to try to traverse the journey that you're on by yourself. You need to invite others into your life. God created you in his image. He desired relationship. That's why he would send his son. That's why he extends an invitation for relationship, for you to be at the table with him, because he desires that. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about that, this idea that we're not created for isolation. In fact, check it out. We all can use our voices, right? We're created to do that. I don't know that if we'd have to have a voice if we weren't going to do relationship. I don't know what need there would be. I mean, I know some of you talk to your dog or your cat, but hopefully they're not answering back because, right, you were created to do relationship with people. I think about the idea that, you know, here's Adam and he's in the garden and God's created him. And Adam has got all these animals. He can call them by name. It's this beautiful picture of his intellect and his brilliance that he can name every creature and he has dominion. And it's just, and then God said, it's good for man not to be alone. Oh, wait a minute. Adam's got all these creatures. And what God's saying is that Adam needs someone that's comparable to him, someone that's like him, someone that he can dialogue with, someone that he can interact with. So he creates woman. So now Adam's not alone. In fact, when Cain and Abel, you know, when they have their first child, it looks to me like that he definitely they were brothers, but there's a possibility they could have even been twins. This idea that it's not, let's have one child necessarily, but let's have two so they can interact with one another and there can be relationship that occurs because God created us for relationships. And here's one of the things, you can jot this down and we'll talk about this a little bit today, is that the relationships that you have in your life, they determine the direction for your future. You're here today because of somebody in your life. Could be that somebody even invited you today. And they are playing a role in determining the direction for your future. Could be that you're here because a longtime friend is here and together you're doing life. Or could be you're here today because of a relationship in your life that's broken. And you're here today because of the absence and the void in your life of that relationship. Because that relationship is helping to play a role in your future. Could be that there's a relationship that you had long ago and that today your life, your future, the life that you're living, the place and direction you're going has been set in, you've been set on that trajectory because of that relationship. Relationships determine the direction of your future, and you see it all throughout Scripture. In fact, I like to look at it this way, that when God wants to bless you, he puts a person in your life. Right? Luke 6:38, we can preach this about giving and, right? The idea of give and it's going to be given to you, right? Press down. Come on, somebody, right? Shaken together, running over. I mean, it's a beautiful picture. When we give, God's going to give us this abundant life and overflow. And then it says this, shall men give into your bosom? That God's going to use a person in your life to bring blessing into your life. And you don't have to look any further than Elijah and Elisha. Elisha's life was changed and blessed. Joshua was, his life was in the direction altered because of Moses in his life. You can just go on and on and on. The relationships where God brings someone into somebody's life and blessing occurs. Isn't that great? Somebody, like somebody's like saying, yeah, I want to meet somebody today. Let me show you the flip side of that coin. That when Satan wants to attack, wants to destroy you, he brings a person into your life. I can mention one name real quickly and you see how this works. Delilah. There's not a whole lot of people naming their kids Delilah nowadays. Jezebel. Ahab was forever messed up. A person. And I would caution and encourage you to understand this, that intimacy is a beautiful thing, but intimacy can destroy. And intimacy with one wrong person can destroy a life forever. Intimacy. Beautiful, yet it can be damaged if we don't, and I'm going to throw some words out today, if we don't discern the relationships we have in life. And I think about Genesis 12, when Abram, who becomes Abraham, when he gets this directive from the Lord says, leave the country where you're at. Disconnect from family and your relationships, your kin, and go to a place I'll show you. Now, that's a tough place to be in. Everybody say the word transition.
Transition.
Yeah. Transition becomes tough because we leave the comfortable and we go to something that we don't know if it's comfortable or not. Problem is, many times we equate comfortable with familiar. It wasn't because Abram had such a great life living in Ur. It wasn't because everything was going his way. It wasn't because he was super, you know, living in super abundance and highly favored and experiencing all this stuff in Ur of the Chaldees. God was going to call him out to a place that he'd not seen, a place that was going to be much grander and better than where he'd been, new relationships. But to get there, he had to leave where he was at. And that period of transition, that place of, where maybe this is for somebody this morning, where a lost and confusing place, where you've departed, but yet you've not reconnected at the next place, that can be a little tough, right? Difficult for us. And Abram experienced that, but here's what God says. I'm going to bless you. And my desire, Abraham, is to bless you. For you to experience this, you got to get out of the place that you're at to go to the place I'm going to show you. And so Abram's going to have to do this. He's going to have to disconnect with some relationships and invite some new relationships in his life. And Abram didn't get it exactly right. I encourage you to read the story. Somebody came to me after the first service and said, now, that Cain and Abel that you mentioned about that, I read that in two versions. They did it while I was preaching, I guess. So anyways, wait till this week to do this. But I encourage you, Genesis 12, look at Abram and the experience that he has. And it's not, you know, that motif, that the way God works there is over and over again. We'll see that if it's the children of Israel leaving the place of comfort, Egypt, going to the promised land that's prepared for them. You say, Pastor, how do you say it's comfort? They were beaten and they were whipped and they had to build and work for others. Well, they continue to say, this is how we know comfortable and familiar is the same. They continue to say to Moses, well, I wish we were back in Egypt. At least we had this, at least we had that. Why? It wasn't great in Egypt, but the familiar seemed comfortable. And for some of you, there's relationships in your life right now, or there's a lack of relationships, and it's been kind of comfortable because it's been familiar, not because it's been working. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the right people in your life and having them and knowing who they are, and then also exiting from the people that probably don't belong in your life right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is at work in our relational life. And I'm saying that he's going to work. I believe he's working currently right now in our relational life. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. He always points people to Jesus. Here's the other thing he does. He forms us and shapes us into the image of Jesus to make us Christ-like. Galatians chapter 5, when you read about the fruit of the Spirit, the list that's provided there, the idea is that this is what the Holy Spirit's going to produce in your life. It's not something you manufacture or something that you are able to fabricate, but it's what the Holy Spirit does. And he does that because he knows this, that we have weaknesses and places void in our life. We have these personality deficiencies sometimes where we can't be as effective as we should be. And so he comes into our life so that he can help us to have love when maybe we can't have love for a certain individual or in a certain situation. He helps us to have peace when maybe our world seems like it's turmoil right now. He comes into our life to do those things. In fact, in Acts 1:8, it says this, that the Holy Spirit's going to come, right? And when he comes, he's gonna give you power. Somebody shout power.
Power. Right?
He's gonna give us power so that we can be witnesses. He's gonna enable us so that we can share Jesus with others, because it would be a mistake to ever think that somehow in our own strength and ability and intellect and our oratory, we could somehow share Jesus with anybody. But he places the Holy Spirit in our life so we're enabled to do that. Why? Because he points people to Jesus and he causes us to be Christ-like. He enables. In John chapter 15, the Bible presents the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father to send a comforter, another like me, a comforter. Because there's times in our life when we need comfort. And there's times in our life when we need to be able to extend comfort to others. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't feel like, right? If it's our own wishes, we would maybe not make other people's life as comfortable as we do when the Holy Spirit works through us. John 14:26, Jesus presents the Holy Spirit as teacher. That he's gonna teach us all things. He's gonna bring all things to our remembrance. That here he is in our life at work, so that we can do relationships right. We can do marriage, and we can do parenting. That we can do our relationships with coworkers or classmates or people that we're doing life with. That we have this ability to do that because he's teaching us how to do that. John 16:13, Jesus says this, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us into all truth. That he's, I like to say it like this, he's a truth teller. Yes. And then in relationships, sometimes when you're struggling with, what am I to believe? How do I encounter? Holy Spirit's there to bring truth. It's almost like he shines a light and he helps us to see more clearly. And the Spirit's at work in our relational life. And so this morning, I'll give you three areas that I believe, and this isn't complete or comprehensive, but I think that it will help to forge this idea that two are better than one in our life, that we're at the table, and who's at the table with us, and who should be at the table with us. And I think the great area that he works is in this area of discernment. Everybody say discernment. We don't use that word enough, do we? Discernment, I'll give you a picture of it. It's the ability to judge in an area of your life. We've made judging such a bad thing. When we say the word, we think it's a bad word. It's not a bad word. You made judgments today, a bunch of them. You're here today because of some right judgments. You judged, you discerned what day of the week it is, right? My little granddaughter, three and a half, she's trying to figure out days of the week, and she was telling me yesterday, now tomorrow is Wednesday, and we're going to do this. And I said, well, tomorrow is Sunday. And she said, Dad, you go to work tomorrow? No, on Sundays, he doesn't work. Sundays, we have e-kids. And so she's learning how to make a judgment. And you made a judgment what day of the week it is. You made a judgment on what's the right thing to do on the first day of the week. You came to gather. You made a judgment on, are you going to break the speed limit or not? Right? You made a judgment. You discerned all kinds of things. You know, somebody pulls over to, You know, you're broke down and somebody pulls over to pick you up, you're going to discern, make a judgment, should you get in that car or not? After this service is over, you'll make a judgment on what you should eat. Are you going to eat what's right and what's good for you, or are you going to eat toxic? Are you going to eat something toxic? So we're making a lot of judgments, discerning things in life, and here's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us in discerning relationships, discernment regarding our relationships. I think about 2 Timothy chapter 3. It starts out in verse 1. It says, in the last days, perilous times will come, dangerous, difficult times will come. And then there's this list Paul gives us, and he describes people that are unthankful, people that are unholy, people that are disobedient to parents, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He just goes through this long list, people who deny the power of God and have this form of godliness, and he just lists out all these things, and he says this in very Pauline language. He says this. He said, from such, turn away. From such, turn away. In other words, Paul says there's going to be some people that can creep into your life, and I think this truth will work in any season of our world. Paul says this is definitely going to happen in the last days, but he gives this directive, turn away. That there's some people that can get in your life that you need discernment about, that you need to understand how are they operating and what are they doing. And I'm not talking necessarily about the gift the Holy Spirit gives, discerning of spirits. I'm talking about making a judgment on the people in your life. Who are you inviting at the table with you? Because here's what happens. I've said this often, but it's so true, that relationships are like elevators. They're either going to take you up or they're going to take you down. That relationships that you have in life are going to determine the direction for your future. So who are the people that you have in your life that you're doing life with? And what is that? What is the climate of that relationship? I heard this. I read this years ago. I didn't know I was going to tell it, and I told it in the first service, and people almost rode out of their seats. And I laughed because they were laughing so hard at this, because it's... there's this old preacher. He was living alone, and he had this parrot that someone gave to him. And this parrot, whoever had it before, that's what they say, whoever had it before, they gave it to him. It just had some very seedy language. In fact, sometimes it would use profanity, and it really bothered him that this parrot was doing this, and he told some people about it. And one lady in his church, she said, I've got a parrot, and my parrot prays all the time. And she said, maybe, because he was going to get rid of the parrot because he just had all he could take with it. He said, maybe if I bring my parrot over and put it with your parrot, that your parrot would be influenced. And so they get the parrot, they put it in a cage, and the old pastor's parrot looks at that parrot and says, kiss me, baby. And that little lady's parrot said, my prayers have been answered. I don't know why that's so funny, but it is pretty funny. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. We can be influenced, and we should be. There should be somebody in your life, multiple people, that are influencing you in a right direction. That they are helping to pour into your life. It's that Paul relationship with Timothy where someone's pouring into your life and you're being influenced in a right direction. The elevator's going up. But if we're not careful, we can allow relationships in our life where they influence us and they take us in a wrong direction. Because there should be some relationships in your life that you're influencing others, right? It's not that everybody goes out of your life that disagrees with you. There's a whole lot of people in my life that probably disagree with me. But I want to influence, right? And I want to be influenced. And that should be our desire. And so the Holy Spirit is helping you to discern the relationships in your life. 2 Timothy 2:23 said, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. So this idea of of strife, of here's we use the big D word for this, right? Drama. There's some people that bring a lot of drama into your life. It's not what you need. It's influencing you in a wrong life and wrong way and wrong direction. So you've got to allow yourself to get postured and positioned so that drama doesn't affect you. And asking, who do I invite at my table? Right? Who am I sitting down at the table with that I am influencing, helping their elevator to go, help their life to go in the right direction? And who's in my life that's helping my life to go in the right direction? God wants to bring a person into your life to bless you, to forward you, to move you in the right direction. The enemy is looking to do that as well. And so you need discernment in the relationships that you have. Secondly, 2 Timothy verse 24 said, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." Everybody say patience.
Patience.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Nobody's praying for that one, right? Holy Spirit helps to increase your patience with those in your life. Fruit of the Spirit is about that. It's the idea that there can be a climate in relationships in your life. And if we're not careful, that climate can be heated. It can be an angry-filled kind of climate. And what we'll do a lot of times is we point fingers at others in our life. Right? Everybody ever heard the old story about Bob? Bob's got a problem at work. Bob's got a problem at home. Bob's got a problem with his neighbors. The commonality is Bob, right? Because Bob is the problem. And sometimes we point here, point there, and point there because of the climate, the atmosphere that's in our life, when it could be that we're a part of that problem. And so the Bible says, you know, the servant of the Lord, it's the idea that quarreling and these kind of things doesn't need to be a part of our life, but we need to be patient and have patience in our relationships. And Proverbs 26 and 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coal, so is wood to fire. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. Don't be responsible for creating contention and drama and strife in your relationships. This will help a lot of you. It'll make it go a long way. You don't have to respond to everything in your life. You just don't have to respond. Sometimes I see on social media, somebody will post something that's a little controversial, and you'll see 50 people comment on that. I'm thinking, come on, guys. Everybody say, come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Right? You're not going to change that person in a response to some crazy thing they put on Facebook. But here's what social media does. It's like taking a magnifying glass and putting it on somebody's life and saying, okay, cat's out of the bag. This is who you are. And everybody's watching. You see, if I'm always gravitating toward drama and contention and strife and debating and trying to have this hot, fiery climate, I'm not having patience with my relationships. I'm a part of the problem. And what God wants you to do is he wants you to be a part of the solution, not the problem. It's easy to open your mouth and say stuff. Sometimes we're doing this and we need to do this. And it may go a long ways. Let me tell some of you teenagers, sometimes when mom and dad is saying something and you're wanting to do this, you just need to do this. Let me help you. This will help your relationship with your parents sometimes if you just do this. And Proverbs 26, 21 says it's this idea that when we remove the fuel for the fire, it goes out. And you don't have to have the last word. Okay. In fact, sometimes you can just disagree and just be cool with disagreeing. I'll be honest with you. Kim and I, we use two different kinds of toothpaste and we have our entire marriage. I don't like the kind she uses and she didn't like the kind I use. And so And so we just used it, and she has her. We don't share when it comes to toothpaste. We just got two different kinds. It's not a big deal. I don't care. You don't care? Because what is, are we going to argue about one's better, you know? People get in arguments about, is Chicago-style pizza better or New York?
New York.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we get to some heated debate about it or something, and it really doesn't matter, right? It's carbohydrates, and I can't have it anyways. I'm playing. There are good carbohydrates, and I do eat those. I'm playing. So the book of Ruth, four little chapters. If you've not read it, here's a good assignment this week. Read the book of Ruth. It's a great story of God's plan and the way he works through relationships to bring about his plan. And Ruth, the title of this book, it's all about her life and her life where it would have been, but where it ended up. And it's such a beautiful story. And if you haven't read it, and some of you probably haven't, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I would encourage you to read it. But there's this one passage, this one in chapter one, there's this place where, and I'll give you just a little glimpse into it. Naomi, who has been a stranger in Moab, who's from Bethel, and she's been there. She's from the town of Bethel. She's been there in from Bethlehem, Judah, and she's been there in Moab. And her husband's died, and her sons had two sons, and they've married and taken wives, and now the sons have died. And so Naomi, is headed back. She's heard a rumor that God's working in her hometown, and there's bread there now. There's famine before. She's headed back, and I can't give it justice as I explain it, but Ruth is with her, and there's more to it, but just I'll focus on this. Ruth is with her, and she's like, I paraphrase, like, go back. Don't come with me. I can't give you if I could have another son someday, by the time it would get old enough, it's not going to work, and just go back and go back and be with your people and be in your city and live there. And Ruth, with it seems to me a lot of passion, she says, don't entreat me to leave. Don't tell me to go back. I'm following you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you live, I'm going to live. When you die and are buried, I'm going to be there. I'm going to die and be buried there too. I'm leaving everything behind me. I'm refusing to build my future around the past. I'm leaving relationships, I'm leaving connections, and I'm following after you. I'm leaving what I've known to go to a place that I don't know, but I know that as I do this, I'm going to step into the future that God has. And by the way, I'll tell you this, sometimes it gets to this place that when you get intolerant enough of the present, you create a future. Some of you are hanging out in the present you've been in for so many years, and God has something greater for you, but you just refuse to move away from the familiar, to release it. It's really not comfortable, the things that you tolerate and live with. And so my counsel to you today is get intolerant of the things that aren't right in your life so you can move to the place God has for you. And with Ruth, she just refused to build her past there. And God does amazing things in her life. And here's the last thing I believe the Holy Spirit will do in your life. Again, not comprehensive. This isn't an end-all list. But he will provide courage and strength for you to exit the presence of foolish people in your life. And when I say foolish, I'm talking about the idea that foolish isn't like they are playful and they're crazy and they do foolish in biblical context, the idea that they have marked off and they don't believe God works, that God is real, that God is, they don't celebrate what God is doing in your life. Proverbs 14:7 says this, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in the lips of him in the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. That it's this place of saying, and I'm a guy that says invite people in, but listen, there's sometimes when people in your life that they're influencing you negatively, when they continue to press hard on you, when they continue to cause you to get stuck in a situation that you just need to, as Paul said, such turn away, move on. You don't slam the door. Somebody say, you don't slam the door. Yeah, you don't slam. You don't have to slam the door. You don't have to burn the bridge. That's how we know it, right? We don't have to burn the bridge because it may be that God will invite you to go through that door again sometime. But it doesn't mean you slam it and you get angry and you create drama. The Holy Spirit will give you courage, strength. Let me add this wisdom to know how to exit that in a proper way at this season of your life. There's some people in your life at this season that don't belong there because they're influencing you in a negative way, and you need to be able to, and by negative, they're pulling you away from the direction God has for you. And then here's what God does. And you guys can come. Here's what God does. God says, I want relationship for you. I'm going to bring people into your life that's going to bring about blessing and posture you to fulfill the purpose I've put you on this planet for. Because ultimately, I want you at my table. Think about David when there was a search that went out to find a descendant of Saul, and they found Mephibosheth. And David set him at his table. That's what God does with us. Invites us to his table. In fact, here's how much he wanted a relationship with you. Here's how much he wanted you at the table, that he would give his best. We'll do a lot of crazy things for relationships. We'll give a lot. We'll do a lot. We'll expend energy. We'll do things to have certain relationships in our life. God says, here's what I'll do. I'll give my very best because I desire you to be at the table. I want relationship with you. I'll give my only son so that we can spend an eternity together. And he invites us to his table. And so today, we're going to receive communion. I'm going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to receive communion. And communion is a picture of coming around the Lord's table.